Jenny Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. Very happy New Year to you. Hope you had a really good Christmas and New Year, and now you're thoroughly into January. A quick word, if you are doing dry January, well, you know, I'd have a few things to share, didn't you, on this. It's not that I am not a fan of dry January, because I do think it can be fantastic for kickstarting your sober journey. It's brilliant that, you know, lots of establishments, lots of pubs, lots of venues will be having more options, more alcohol-free options, and it would not be seen to be at all odd to be going out and choosing an alcohol-free option, because, you know, it's dry January. So in that respect, it can be great to sort of ease that transition into quitting alcohol. But I would just add a word of caution that you make your decision to focus only on what you're gaining. And I know you will have heard me, if you've listened to this show before, or if you're a listener to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, you'll know that I am such a big believer in focusing on everything you're gaining. Never use the phrase give up. I really mean that. If we use the phrase give up, our unconscious mind sort of thinks that we're missing out, that we're somehow depriving ourselves. And the reality is there is nothing to lose and everything to gain. Just before New Year, or rather just after New Year, we had a special workshop, Setting Your Intentions. We did a really deep dive into what it is we want to release from the year just gone. And we were talking about how important it is to ask, what is it I want to let go of from last year? But importantly also, what is it that was a big lesson for me, or something that did work well that I want to carry through with me into this new year? Now, if you quit the booze last year, definitely that's a little gem that you want to carry with you, of course. So it's a really good idea just to kind of visualize what it is you want to hang on to from the year just gone and bring it with you into this new year. And then, of course, we spoke about the importance of setting intentions, not resolutions. Resolutions are something else entirely. We tend to just set resolutions and we just set ourselves up to fail. Literally, we talk about all the things we think we ought to want. I remember I used to write resolutions, and every year I'd write, I must resolve, you know, to give up chocolate. I resolve to go to the gym 3 times a week. I resolved to learn a new language. And I'd write this great long list of things. And really, I would just feel utterly miserable and annoyed with myself when one by one that I'd fail on those resolutions by typically the end of January. And the reason is because they weren't things I really wanted. I really hadn't tapped into why I might want those things and how important they were to me. The reality is they're just things that probably other people thought I should do. Probably someone had told me, oh, it's really good for your brain if you learn a language. I'm sure it is. But you know what? It wasn't what I wanted. And I didn't have the time to do it anyway. So utterly pointless, just setting myself up to fail. So I don't do that anymore. I set intentions. And what I recommended on the call that we did, on the workshop that we did, is that you ask yourself what it is you want to feel. What do you want to feel more of in the coming year? And then when you set your intentions, you can ask yourself, well, why? Why have I chosen that goal or intention, if you like? What's the reason I've chosen it? Is it because it will make me feel more of what? What is it I want for the coming year? Why do I want it? What will it give me? What will it bring me? And then on our workshop, we also invited the wonderful Susan from Hola Sober magazine to come on and have a chat with me about the importance of ritual. And, you know, it's a funny one, ritual, because, of course, it can sound as though it's a word that just means, you know, something completely woo-woo. But of course, it isn't really. A ritual is part of self-care, but it's done with intention. And I think that's the piece that sets it aside. It's the importance of putting self-care in place, because let's face it, when we are drinking, it's actually really very hard to take care of ourselves. We talk about self-care and going to a spa and booking a holiday and all the rest of it. But the reality is, it's the stuff we do every day that is really going to go on and make the difference for us. So I wanted to chat to Susan because Susan and I have some fabulous chats often about self-care. So I thought it'd be perfect for this time of year. So I've edited that interview out of the workshop, and I thought I would let you enjoy that right now.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at a special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hi, Jeannie. Happy New Year.
How are
you?
Look at you, gorgeous girl. How are you? Happy New Year.
And many happy returns to everybody in the room, everybody. Hi, my name is Susan. Good to see all of you. Some faces I recognize.
Yes, I bet you do. How fabulous to see you. In fact, can everybody just unmute their mics and give Susan a round of applause, please, first?
Oh, thank you.
We used to do that on the big show, and I miss it desperately. Thank you so much for joining us, Susan. I really appreciate it. What I wanted to chat to you about, I know we can chat forever, Susan, about everything, but
indeed,
I just wanted to think about, we've had a few chats on podcasts in the past about self-care, haven't we? And we've nearly always ended up talking as well about ritual and the importance of ritual. And I suppose the key difference between a ritual and just a habit, or a routine is the intention behind it.
Correct.
Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think that a very big myth prevails in general terms around what actually self-care is, because it's not bubble baths and beige candles. And if that's the concept you have in your head, it's actually wrong. Self-care to those of us in the recovery journey is maintenance of the woman who keeps the whole show on the road. Okay, so that's what it actually is. And many women today, being the 2nd of January, have given 150% to their family and their friends for the last 6 weeks in terms of maintaining everybody's well-being, because somehow we as women believe there was a memo that says we are responsible for everybody's happiness at fucking Christmas. Please excuse my French. So therefore, in terms of self-care, now is the time, and it's a fabulous day to have this chat, for us to really look and dig deep into not just self-care and ritual, but also why it is so very important. And I think that one of the things each of us need to remember is self-care is actually quite simple. Okay, it's the maintenance, right? It is simple as boundaries, bedtime, food, and water. Okay, it can be as simple as that, without the glitter, without the drama, without the bullshit, without overcomplicating it, Janie. It can actually be as simple as that. Let me tell you, 2 days ago in my kitchen, I, for no reason, broke down in tears. I'm 7 years sober, by the way, in next Tuesday.
Yay,
So,
congrats.
7 years down the road, I thought I was through all of this, right? This sort of roller coaster of emotion that somebody feels. And I broke down in the kitchen, and my husband said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I don't know. I think I'm angry." And he said, "Why are you angry?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know why I'm angry." And then, because I'm a sober woman with a deeply curious brain, I looked at really what was going on. And the truth was, I was shattered. I was exhausted. I hadn't slept properly for 3 solid nights. I had kind of half slept and gone to bed too late. And I'd broken all my own rules because the house was full for Christmas. So I'd broken the boundary that is precious, that is my sleep. And that night I went to bed. And the next morning, my husband, who you're all going to now be really envious, brings me my breakfast in bed every morning.
Oh
That's
my
my
goodness.
medication.
Send him over.
And he didn't come in until almost midday. I slept until almost midday. And that, in that moment of clarity, when I woke, I thought, that's what was wrong with me yesterday. I was shattered. So therefore, for me, I'm constantly reminded in the own living of my life what self-care is, that it is boundaries, keeping out people who drive me insane, keeping out toxic people, reducing my world into something that I can manage if I'm not feeling 100%. Boundaries is saying no. And here's another one. A woman emailed me the other day, and she said, "Do you think this is okay to say?" It was a friend of mine. And she said, "Do you think this is okay to send to my brother? Because I'm saying no, I'm not going there." Lads, it was like Tolstoy's War and Peace. It was about 5,000 words. Okay. And what she really could have just said to him is, "No, I'm not going, because I'm feeling quite vulnerable in my sobriety right now." But instead, it was, "La la, la la, la la, la la." She just over-explained. So for
Totally.
me, without a shadow of a doubt, self-care, I learned, because I thought it was bath bombs, and lavender in my pillow, is actually, for me personally, it's boundaries, it's bedtime, it's water, it's good food, it's laughter, it's joy, it's a meeting if I need to go to one, if that's your jam, it's reaching out to a sober friend. It is actually, I suppose the best way I can put it, Janie, is it's the maintenance of the greatest decision I've ever
Ever
made.
made. Exactly. I just want to pick up on one thing you said there, Susan. It's so important. Before I forget, I just want to say I absolutely love the fact that you started that conversation by admitting or sharing that what you were feeling was anger, right? And isn't it interesting that we all have different emotions that, yes, you're still going to have times when you feel guilty, angry, fed up, pissed off, whatever, furious, miserable, ashamed. You're going to have these emotions. But
Absolutely.
how brilliant to actually recognize, okay, I'm going to look at that emotion.
That's
I'm going
something
to
that I
look at it.
failed that you
In the
see.
past, we didn't do that, did we? In the past, when we felt angry, we just reached for a bloody drink. End off,
That's it.
right?
So I
Exactly.
was a classic, let's drink it anger, let's drink it rejection, let's drink at my marriage rather than have a difficult conversation,
Yes,
let's drink
exactly.
Let's drink at parenting. Let's drink at daughtering. Let's drink at traffic on the M40. So therefore, I loaded it all in, Janie. But the fundamental shift in sobriety is that I did have the wherewithal to go, what the fuck is actually going on here?
Yeah. Right? Well, in the chat, Paula just said it's feeling all the feels. That's exactly it, isn't it? Yes. Once we quit alcohol, we do have to face all the emotions. But that's not as terrifying as it seems, because we can also recognize that they are just emotions. They will pass, right?
Yes.
And, you know, if you believe Carla McLaren, I interviewed her many years ago, actually. But her theory is all emotions are welcome. Of course, it doesn't feel that way. I don't particularly want to feel shit, but all emotions are welcome because they're all there to teach us something. That emotion came to you because you needed to have a bloody rest.
Yes.
You needed to have that emotion so that you could say no and have a, and we always say, don't we, Susan? No is a complete sentence. I love that.
Correct. No is a complete sentence. And my body had been screaming at me for days, right? And that's why I was angry, because my body was angry. My literal insides were screaming, stop. And I wasn't listening. And I was forced to listen by cracking and breaking down, which is a new thing in sobriety. And the first time it happened to me, I thought, oh, my God. And then I realized maybe 6 years ago, 1 year on the journey, I realized that there has been this falsehood structured by society, by the media, that women are super women. Mm. And we are able and capable of doing everything, of having the career and the marriage and the children and the glass of wine and absolutely everything. And we feel in early sobriety that we're failing when we get this whoosh of emotion, where in fact, when I got into bed that night, I actually reframed it to be, thank you, sobriety, that it is healthy to feel angry.
Exactly.
And I'm not a bitch to feel angry.
Absolutely. I love that.
Felt it.
Yeah.
It was coming up the back of my throat. And there's nothing wrong with being incensed or angry or pissed off or having a cross word. It's actually life. And because you and I, as sober women, live life to the full, you know, we're not in the margins. We're actually driving down the center of the road in our lives. If there's anyone in this room that thinks that they'll never feel angry, sad, depressed, you know, postmenopausal, perimenopausal, want to kill your partner, want to kill your child, you know, you're in the wrong room, because all of that is living, it's sober, and it is an absolute testament to your strength to follow through on the greatest choice you'll ever make.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I love it. And you're absolutely right. You know, the boundary piece is critical. As we say, no is a complete sentence. We have to learn to set boundaries. I've said many times in the past that when I was drinking, I thought that people who set boundaries were just really mean. Like, oh, she's so mean. She said no. But I now realize that's taking care of yourself. And, you know, if somebody doesn't like it, that's their problem. You know, it doesn't matter.
And something now that you've just touched on there, right? So we're all human in this room. Okay. I hope we are, because if you're an AI bot, back off. We're all human. And I think what's really important is there is a natural part of us that wants to be liked. There's a natural part of humanity.
Yes, and there's a lot of people pleasers.
There
who,
is
who are, who
in
are
this
drinkers.
Community.
Yes.
In this community.
Yes.
And I think that so it's natural that we want to be liked. But at the end of the day, I had a chat with myself the first week that I went on this journey. And I said to myself, you know, so I'm 7 years, I'm 58, so I was 51. I said, look, you're 51 years of age. You're 51 years of age. You own this life. You can say no. You can set boundaries. And if they think you're a silly cow, they think you're a silly cow.
Yeah.
And as long as your partner in life and your children and those that truly matter to you and your heart continue to love you, that's all that matters. But the crowd out there that we've worked so damn hard to try and please and get applause, truly, truly do not matter. And in sobriety, that became really, really clear to me that I could say no and not be a bitch.
Yeah, I love that, because The other piece of that is that it's only in many cases, I really believe that it's very difficult to actually love yourself. I mean, that might those words might be a bit woo-woo for some people, but
Yes.
have self-respect if you that you prefer, or have
Yes.
self-esteem when you're drinking. I
Yes.
think it's really, really difficult. As most people know, I was part of I was a Hay House author, so I was absolutely steeped in everything to do with self-love, with
Yeah.
literally working with Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer, and it was everything was about self-love. And yet, if you'd have asked me about my own personal sense of self-love or spiritual practice, I would have just said, "Oh no, it's not for me. It's for everyone else."
Yeah.
Bizarre, I now realize it's because I couldn't be authentic. I couldn't like myself because I was pouring toxic liquid in, and somewhere in my unconscious mind, some part of me knew that that was not okay. And it's only when I was able to stop that I was able to start to like myself. And when you can like yourself, you don't care so much whether what everybody else thinks, right?
Correct, because ultimately, you and I being Anglo-Irish, somebody who loves themselves is normally up their own ass. We're
Yeah, exactly. We're,
not raised
the phrase
to,
is difficult, isn't
yes, it is. As my mother and
it?
father say, the Americans invented that.
Yes. Well,
Apologies to any
yeah.
Americans. But here's the deal. Loving ourselves is a concept rather than a sentence, right?
Yes,
And
yes.
when we're drinking, we truly have no self-respect. We are our own worst
Exactly.
enemy. And it's an act of self-harming, you and I have said many times. It is
Yeah.
singularly the greatest act of self-harm any woman in this room will
Yeah.
ever commit
And
against
man, I think we've
herself.
got a couple of guys.
Right? And guys, and to
Yeah.
anybody in the room. So here's the deal. If you're appalled at the prospect of somebody in an act of self-harm, when you pour a glass of wine, that's actually
Yeah.
what you're doing.
Yeah,
And
yes,
so
it is.
that act of self-harm is self-sabotage, and it is a concept of hatred that
Yeah.
you are fighting against yourself. So loving yourself being a concept is actually truly about finding, as you rightly say, it's about finding respect. I
Yeah.
didn't respect myself when I was drinking. I
No.
didn't respect my decisions. I didn't respect my choices. I didn't respect any part of me. And no matter what I achieved in the outside world professionally, no matter what accolade came along, it meant zero, zilch, nothing, because deep in my soul, I felt if they really knew I was going home to drink a bottle of
Yeah.
wine on my own
Yeah.
in my kitchen, disconnected from the world, they would not be applauding. They
Yeah.
would be giving me this award. They would be appalled at who I am as a human. So therefore, I hid away in my kitchen with my bottle of wine. And therefore, you and I suffered very much from that duality of spirit
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly
because there
that.
was two of us. Well,
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sure my husband would say there's 365 of me, but there's allegedly two of us.
It's
But the
true.
point is, one is for the outside world in my life, one was for the outside world and professionally, and one was for back in the hotel room or my kitchen.
Yeah.
And they were yards apart in
Yeah.
terms of their choices, how they presented to the world, and in terms of respect, it was zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Because any woman, and what I'm going to say sounds harsh, but look, here, we're big women in here, and we're probably all wearing, and men, we're probably, I was going to say we're big women wearing big knickers, but to the men, deepest apologies. If you've knickers on, we're not judging. We're not judging. But here's what I was going to say is that, we've zero self-respect. And if any woman taped herself or videoed herself or voice called herself while in the grip of a bottle,
Oh yeah.
they
Yeah.
would be appalled
Yeah.
at what we become. So
Totally.
I'm left a video message for my best friend many years ago, maybe about, it has to be 8 years ago, because it was quite quickly after that I got a grip. And she was in hospital, and I left her a message late at night, and I forgot to send it, and thank you, universe, for that. And I looked at it,
Wow.
and I was horrified at what I saw.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
what I saw was a rambling, slurring woman looking quite tossed, which is unlike me, quite tossed in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And my sentiment was good, but it was impossible to truly understand what I was actually getting at.
Yeah,
And I immediately deleted that video. And I think somewhere in my head that day, I felt I needed to put my big girl pants on and get a grip. And in terms of self-respect, every woman and man in this room that is on a day one or a day a million, it's irrelevant. You are beginning on a journey of self-discovery and self-respect. And when we find self-respect, we're able to say no. When we find self-respect, we're able to say, I really don't give a toss what you think about this, but here's what I think. And you're actually able to inhabit that space and that body that you and everybody else in this room has been given to its fullness, like to its fullness. And that doesn't mean everybody has to be out front and roaring and shouting and cheerleading and wearing a rah-rah skirt. But if that's what flies your boat, off you go. But here's what it means. It means that I don't allow people to treat me badly. I don't allow people to come back at me when I say no. I don't tolerate it, Janie. I don't tolerate it. If that's the journey you're going on and you're upset because I said no, because I'm not going to your dinner party, well.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. We were just talking a little bit earlier about someone was saying that they have this sort of the fear of getting things wrong and the limiting beliefs. And we do have all of that early on. And yes, we might get things wrong, but as you said, what's really amazing about choosing this path is you're stepping into that new identity, but it's who you really are. That's the really lovely thing about it. And it takes a little bit of time before you kind of fit in your sober shoes, doesn't it? And it can feel really raw in the early days, for sure.
It
It
is raw
can.
and it's uncomfortable and it can be clunky and it can be unpopular and it can be socially awkward. Let's call a spade here, right? But the truth of the matter is that is you beginning to feel for the first time what it's like to be an authentic human being. Because,
Totally.
I had my first drink when I was a late starter for an Irish person. I was 18, lads.
Right,
And
right.
I had a Stag and Ice and a Malibu and pineapple, and I didn't know my own name because that's how the journey starts out. Innocent. Nobody wants to set out on this journey where you and I found ourselves. But then the great irony is we're so grateful that we did find our way to where we found ourselves to. But the truth of the matter is that if I had known that I would become addicted to an addictive substance, that in fact alcohol is toxic, poison, addictive, all the things that you and I and everybody I hope in this room understands. You're not weak, you're not flawed. Listen, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not one chromosome short of being a full adult. There is nothing wrong in your DNA, environmentally, genetically, any other way. There is no addiction genetic gene. They can't find it. Gabor Maté is really, really strong on that point. So we became addicted to something. We used something as society told us we could use it, as our family and friends and everybody else did. And we just got into a pattern and a habit. And the joy is when the veil is lifted and you understand that. And you accept that and you do something about that. Not only does your world begin to open up into this magnificent and amazing space to be, because you begin to know yourself and find your self-respect, you actually end up doing things on this journey that you never
Yeah,
imagined are
makes you
possible.
brave. Makes you brave. I love that. And thank you for sharing that, Susan. It's something that I talk about a lot, but it's worth saying it again. But it's not your fault. It's not your fault. And a couple of people here have said, shame, guilt when drinking. I absolutely had all that going on. Huge amount of shame when I stopped, to the extent that I didn't even tell anyone. I'm grateful now that I had to go through experience because it's made me a better coach. But I now realize, I now know that, as you say, society wants you to drink. It's the dumb thing. It's what everybody does, but that doesn't make it right. And it's not your fault. However, it's your responsibility now to live your best life. And that's a positive thing. That's super positive. If you've been able to open your eyes and recognize this, Now you take on that responsibility, but that's not your fault. And letting go of that guilt and shame is just massive. Let me ask you a question, just coming back to the ritual piece, if you like, just for a moment. For somebody who, it perhaps is early days, or even if it's just someone who's got tricky things going on in their life, and they have that, they have anxiety, they feel
Sure.
fearful, they, because life's life sometimes, right?
Yes.
As you say, it gets lifey.
Yes.
What would be your tip for something that we can do that just grounds us, a sort of grounding ritual, if
Sure.
you like, just to
Sure.
bring us back to who we are?
So at the end of the day, there is also a myth out there that you need to drink moon water, chant, and do hula hula at 6 a.m. Ladies, you do not.
Oh, I hadn't heard that
Here's the good news. You don't. Now, for me, I have pared down my morning ritual. Let me just say that at the top. Because when I came into sobriety, it was the first time in my life I actually ever played by the rules. It was the first time in my life that I ever was disciplined. It was the first time in my life that I ever committed 150% to something.
Yeah, because we're
And for
flaky, aren't we, when we're drinking? We're flaky.
absolutely flaky as Nora. Listen, I was the mother of good intention, but she was, I never got to the end of the sentence. So in sobriety, I realized I had to do it differently. And I did, and I committed to it. And I went through a candle ritual, as you know. But now I've pared it all back, and I've actually sort of, if you like, made it so much easier for myself. And really what I do is, obviously I wake up, lads, that's always a help. And then I take three deep breaths. I literally do that. This is my morning routine now. So I wake up, and when I wake up, I take three deep breaths. And then I make my sentence of intention, which is not today, lady, not today, which could be not today, sir, not today. So it's I wake up, I take three deep breaths, I make my sentence of intention. I drink some water and I light one candle. I light one candle to put light into the world and to put light into my life. It's both a visual for me personally, and it's also a physical act. And I sit and I watch the flame, and I watch the flame for a few moments. And there's no glitter, no sparkle, no nothing. It's very, very simple. And in doing so, I'm actually showing up for myself, if you like. It reminds me, that I'm showing up for myself. It also reminds me the beauty of sobriety is it doesn't have to be ornate to be
Yeah.
perfect.
No, I love that. Another very simple morning ritual could just be opening a notebook and journaling.
Absolutely.
No editing, no going back over it. Literally just, well, there's that lovely expression Louise Hay used to say, you can't clean the house till you can see the dirt. So literally let it all out onto paper without pausing, without
Yes.
going back. Just let it all out. You might find yourself writing, I must send a birthday card, or even I don't know what to write. And that's okay.
Yes. Yes.
But it
Because
is
I think,
magical how something often does pop up that then later you
yes.
realize that if you had what can pop up in journaling, it's quite interesting, is sometimes what pops into your mind is a thought that you don't want to write down. So there's a part of you that doesn't want to think that thought, but because you've committed, you write it down anyway. And there's a magic in that. There's a magic in just allowing it all out there, right?
100%. And I think that what everybody needs to remember about a ritual in the early morning in early sobriety is this isn't for Instagram people. This is
No,
actually
exactly.
a random Tuesday, right? The most important part of a ritual is consistency. It's actually not how many parts there are to it, it's the actual repetition of the same act. So for me, three deep breaths, a sip of water, not today, lady, not today, light a candle, there's no fuss, there's no drama, right? And normally, what I do say in closing is, I say to the flame as it's sort of gathering energy, and so we begin again. And, and so we begin again can apply to anybody. It doesn't have to be the sober journey, but it is, and so we begin again. And I say it to the flame because to me, the flame in my life, and people may want to tap into this, the flame in my life is my ancestors. And so my grandmother used to take us to the novena at 5 o'clock every Saturday in the Redemptorist. She'd light candles for the parish, for the world. You know, everybody had a candle for Mary, who had a pain in her leg, and Johnny, who was dying, and the whole lot. And I grew up with this. And obviously, as a small child, I didn't understand the reverence or the importance or the light into the dark. I didn't understand any of that. But I understood the power of her ritual. And she used to light a little nightlight on her kitchen table when she'd take out her prayer book. And I was almost like, if you like, baptized in this whole thing about the candle and light into the dark. And it has stood me in great stead in my sober journey, because although I used to do three, it was like the Pro Cathedral here, lads. Canterbury wouldn't have had as many candles as I had. So we're down to one. So I've one candle. And that one candle is, and so we begin again. And
Yeah.
so we begin again. And for me, Janie, and to everybody in the room, I want you to think about that. You see, that is the gift of being alcohol free. And so we begin again. We get a new day. I'm not waking up at 6 a.m. in the morning like we've all done. Like, let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Forensically examining what I said last night, or what I did last night, or who did I text, or
Yeah.
did I go on
Or
Facebook?
3 a.m. with the room spinning.
Yes, or 3 a.m.
Thank
and
God.
wanting to go to sleep and not wake up,
Yeah.
right? There's a multitude that goes through our heads when we're drinking every day. And I think that, and so let's begin again, is like, and it is like a gift to me every morning, because I've got a clear day ahead. I've got a clear night of the night before. I'm not going into the breakfast room getting glared at. I'm not having a husband go out the hall door with his car keys silent and me inside going, what did I do? Did I? Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't say anything. Did I say anything? And I'm like, absolutely peppering, right? And so we begin again is the simplest freaking sentence I've ever written, but I have found it to be so powerful. And as I say, it's not for Instagram, but it's consistent. And I do it every day. And come up to my 7th year anniversary, I'm still lighting candles every morning. Every morning. And it, because it's not this song and dance routine, it actually happens every day.
Yeah, it's that word consistency. Somebody said that earlier. It's the consistency and the fact that when you've quit alcohol, you can start to trust yourself.
Yes.
I was saying that I never had trust in myself
No,
before, but I didn't realize that.
no,
I
you
love that.
didn't.
It's a really powerful, very, as you say, very simple
Yes,
ritual. And yeah,
yes.
I love it.
And can I say one thing before we close? If anybody is out there and they're feeling, you know, anxious, or they feel some sort of a panic attack coming on because alcohol has been talked about, or they have to go to a bar or whatever, the most important thing to do in that moment is to remember that when we were drinking, we were like the drama llama, right? It
Yeah.
was just one drama after the other, and they are just stories, and it will pass. And we just need to ground ourselves, Janie. We need to take a
Yeah.
deep breath. We need to, you know, look around us, think of five things, see five things, and we need to do the next right thing. And that's it. So
Yeah.
if you find yourself in a situation whereby you're feeling panicked or anxious, take breath.
Yeah.
See five things, touch five things if you need to, right? Just do the next right thing. And if the next right thing is picking up a glass of water, the next right thing is picking up a glass of water. Bring your horizon in. Always bring your horizon in. We have a tendency to look out into the world, project, you know, my 5-year plan, my 10-year plan, my feck all of it. Bring your horizon in to the next hour.
Yeah,
And
I
that's
think,
how I live my life.
yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think to add to what you said there, it's actually coming back to your body in the present moment.
Yes,
We
yes.
spend so much of our time, and particularly when people have that those awful panicky feelings, they're stuck in either something that's happened in the past or something that might happen in the future, but it hasn't happened yet. We've actually only got this moment now in the present. And so, and when you can actually come back to your body and feel it in your body and steady ahead, it makes
Yes.
so much difference. So, yeah, I
Good point.
appreciate you sharing
I
that.
just
Thank
wanted
you.
to just say that to the room, because sometimes people in early sobriety or in any point in the sober journey feel anxious. And
Totally.
really, it's drama llama. Just remember that, lads, it's drama llama. It's only stories. Ground yourself and truly do the next right thing. And the sentence I used to say to myself in the early days was, right here, right now, I am safe.
I love
Right
that.
here, right
I've got a
now, I am
similar
safe.
one. In this moment, I am safe. I use,
Exactly.
I love it. Susan, thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy. I really appreciate it,
Thank you.
and have a fabulous new year and end of Christmas, whatever it's called.
Yes, a Spanish Christmas on the
Spanish
6th. Think
Christmas.
of me.
Brilliant,
Yes,
brilliant.
exactly. So thank you all.
Can we open
Lovely
our
to see you.
mics and
Take
give
care.
Susan a
Bye-bye.
round of applause, please? You get clapped in and clapped out.
Thank you. Love that.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at ukhealthradio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you, Susan, and you can sign up to Susan's morning call on Spotify. Don't forget, if you would like to join us in the Sober Club, thesoberclub.com. It's for people who are sober curious or thinking about being sober or even have been sober for years and years, because it's all about the well-being and the what's next, leveling up your well-being. And it's low cost, it's very high value. The cost is rising mid-January, so join us now and then you get in at the 2025 price and you'll remain at that price. It won't rise for you once you're in as a member. It would be absolutely lovely to have you on board. And then also for those people who have been sober for a while, I'm sure you've heard me talk about just how exciting it is that when people quit the booze, they start to become really interested in a new purpose or doing some more fulfilling work. It's really quite common for people to quit the booze and then start to become, you know, they're passionate about sobriety, but perhaps they're a bit disillusioned with the work that they're doing or with the path that they're taking. And they just start to get excited about what their future could be like. And that's where the sober coach training can come in, because with the sober coach training that I offer, there's just so much incredible personal transformation and obviously a whole suite of skills to equip you to be able to inspire others and to work with people who want to quit alcohol, who want to live their best life without the booze. So if it's something that you might have been thinking about, then we do have a free webinar. It's on January the 21st, Wednesday, January the 21st at 7:30 p.m. So if you go to thesoberclub.com/events, you'll see the link there and you can register for this free webinar. It's all about discovering your purpose, really. We have a really good time just sort of chatting through some questions, some sort of journaling prompts as to how you might discover your purpose. And of course, not everyone's going to want to be a sober coach or even to use the skills in different ways. But it is amazing how people come and do my training, and then they do all kinds of wonderful stuff. There's a couple of the coaches I trained with, who are running retreats, one in Bali. A couple have become yoga teachers, and they're now incorporating sobriety into yoga classes, which is great fun, and hosting retreats as well. There are some who are doing podcasts and some who are doing online workshops. There are lots who are coaching one-to-one online, and some who are doing it in person. There's one who works at a retreat center in the UK and offers personalized sobriety coaching. There are people who do craft cafes. So people just come and they bring their knitting and sewing and have an alcohol-free drink, and they talk about sobriety. And there are others who do really quite high level work within business. So they'll go into workplaces and offer workplace well-being sessions around sobriety. So, I mean, the different ways you can use these skills is absolutely, incredible. I'm sure there'll be many more new ideas coming along as well. So if it is something that interests you, even vaguely, maybe it's not quite the right time, but come along to our webinar. It's free of charge. It's not salesy. It's on Wednesday, 21st of Jan at 7:30. And it would be lovely to see you. Let's have a chat about what might be for your future. If you want to join us, thesoberclub.com/events, and just sign up there. And if you are in the UK and you know you really want to treat yourself, then splash out and book yourself a stay at Homefield Grange Spa on the weekend of 22nd and 23rd of February. I'm going to be hosting an ultimate self-care retreat. And this is a very special retreat where we really deep dive into NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, EFT, emotional freedom technique, and a whole host of other amazing well-being tools. So if you're someone who has, sometimes feels a little anxious, knows that you don't put enough into taking care of yourself, if you struggle with self-esteem or self-love, then this weekend is for you in a totally luxurious setting. So, this is not an inexpensive retreat, I have to warn you. It's an incredibly gorgeous, luxurious place. But you're worth it, right? So come and do that weekend with me. There's lots of one-to-one coaching as well as part of that weekend. It would be great to have you as part of that. So again, if you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you'll find all of the information there. So final reminder, the free webinar, Wednesday, 21st of January, 7:30. The special ultimate self-care weekend. Just in case you're in Orlando, I'm going to be part of the Amplify Sober Voices conference on the 15th of January. Really looking forward to speaking there about your story and the importance of sharing your story and sharing your magnetic message with the world. So if you are going to be there, drop me a message. I would love to meet up with you. I love meeting up with people who listen to either this show or listen to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. It makes just such a massive difference when we get to meet the people that are listening. Don't forget to follow me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. It's thesoberclub.com. And once again, Happy New Year. If you're doing Dry January, stick at it. Why not do 3 months? I mean, come on, a month is nothing. Do 3 months, drop me a message and let me know you're doing that. See you next time. You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.